You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
We are going to bounce off of it. It's kind of our backbone of our message this morning, but I just felt that we needed to talk about the fact that God has a plan. He has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for this church. And so my heart was just heavy with the thought that I didn't want to go into this new year without recognition, without confirmation, without a reminder that we need to allow God to be in control. We need to allow God to direct us, whether it be our individual lives or, as I said, our corporate lives here in this church, that God, He does have a plan. And so I've entitled our message, God Has a Plan, and we're going to springboard off of Jeremiah 29:11. So let's pray, and then we'll read our verse. Father, once again, thank you for your incredible love and mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan for our lives, and in that plan, we want to do all that we can to bring you glory. So help us, Father, to jettison our ambitions, our thoughts, our ideas. May we open our eyes to the truth of your word and to the direction of your spirit. Lord, we love you, praise you, honor you, in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11, and I heard someone say my favorite. It's one of my favorites, too. It's in my top 10. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. One day, folks, one day, we will all depart from this life. One day, our number will be up. One day, we won't see another New Year's ball drop. But that's okay, because that's a part of the plan. Now, the issue that we might have today is in that part of the plan. Every one of us, guaranteed, every one of us will pass. It's 100% guaranteed. Is there anyone here who won't die? Good. I was just checking. Wasn't sure. But it's part of the plan. The problem is, what does that entail for you and for those that you love? Does it entail a hope and a future? Does it entail seeing God face to face in a good way? Because unfortunately, everyone will see God face to face. The Bible says that before Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue confess. And so we should be humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord today. We should be humbling because, listen, I said this last week, even the most dignified person is going to grovel in hell. The most dignified unbeliever will grovel in the pit of hell without Jesus Christ. So I'd rather humble myself now before the Lord. But it's part of the plan. So we have to ask ourselves, what is God's plan for my life? Well, his desire is that none should perish, that all should come to repentance, that all should come to saving faith. Look at this verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. He, God, the creator, omnipotent one, omnipresent one, omniscient one, he thinks about us. Now, he doesn't just think about us corporately, although he does. He thinks about his church, and he thinks about the different churches individually, but he thinks about you individually, personally. Listen, I think about my kids. I think about their future. I think about my bride and our future together. But there are certain people I don't think of. Like, I just went to Houston. I don't think about the guy from the airport who made me take off my shoes. I don't think about him. I thought about him at the time. I was like, what a jerk. No, I'm just... Actually, it could have been a woman. I don't know. I really didn't pay that close attention. But God doesn't care if you're the guy at the airport asking people to take off their shoes, or if you're the person working down the street giving people large orders of fries, or if you work at the bank, or he doesn't care. He cares about you and I individually. He cares about you and me individually, not just corporately. He remembers. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head or your face. If you don't have any on your head, he knows every hair on your head. In other words, he watches over you when you sleep. He watches you in your comings and goings. He knows your future. He cares. You know, At one time I worked at Walmart in the shoe department. And here's what I know. The president of Walmart did not care about me individually. The president of Walmart cares about what is Walmart doing as a whole. But God, though he is the creator of all the universe, cares about you individually, what you will do today, what you will think, what you will say. God Almighty thinks highly of you. How high? Came down. As a man, simply, purposefully to die for you and I. What an amazing God. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. God has you in his thoughts. If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he has a wallet, if God had a Facebook, your picture would be the banner. Because he loves you. He has thoughts about you. And not just any thoughts, he tells us. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. Peace. How was last year for you? Did you have a lot of peace? Did you see a lot of glory unto God? Did you see him actively working in your life and doing things where you could say, that was the Lord. He was active in my life. Things were happening, and his fingerprint was all over 2017. Here's the problem. We have our own plans. We have our own ambitions. We have our own idea about what the future should look like and what the future will hold. And we even think about, how am I going to get there? I have a goal. How am I going to achieve my goal? What do I have to do? We even plan and strategize. Some do. Some are, you know, some people are so unorganized, they don't plan or strategize. Every day is from the hip. I don't know how people do that. I can't function that way. I need like 6 months to a year laid out. But Proverbs 3:5-6, and you know this verse. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. See, there's that all the heart again, right? Not just part of your heart. See God with trust in the Lord with. You see a theme here? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. But what do we do? Well, I have a plan. I have goals for this year. I have things I'd like to see happen in 2018. But I have to ask myself, are these his plans or my plans? I have plans for this church. Well, it's not my church, is it? It's his church. We just get to come together and be a part of it. If you're in ministry, do you have vision for your ministry and plans and goals? Is it your vision or is it a vision he has given you? It says, lean not on your own understanding. Why? Well, because if I tend to lean on my understanding, guess what? My understanding is not too strong now, is it? But how strong is his understanding? Well, never break. Can't break. You know, I love dogs. We got any dog lovers here? Yeah. I know Gilbert doesn't love cats. He wants you to put stickers on now. Pastor Gilbert, look at you. Although it'd be kind of cool to have pets. Maybe we get some HBC pet outfits. I don't know. See, there go. God, is that your idea or my idea? But I love dogs. I have a particular breed that you may not like, but I love pit bulls. I do. I've owned lots of pit bulls. You know, they say that people, when they have a dog, their dog matches the owner's. You ever seen how big a pit bull's head is? What are you trying to say? Now, I've had pit bulls, and once in a while, you'll get a pit bull that is rambunctious and wants to run around the neighborhood and play. And so what you do is you take the pit bull and you tie it to a tree, you know, long leash so it can run around the yard, but kind of keeps it from jumping the fence. You know, I had a dog, was an escape artist. I had a pit bull named Buckwheat. And smart dog, but escape artist. I mean, it didn't matter what I did. She found a way to get out of the yard. So what you do is you put a chain, you know, or a rope, and you tie it to the tree. Problem is, you come outside to play with the dog, and the dog wants to play, but it doesn't, you know, it may be smart, but it's not too smart. And it starts going around the tree, and the rope gets shorter and shorter. And so I try to encourage the dog to go back the other way, try and get the dog, but the dog wants to go its own way. And I'm like, dog, you're going to get tangled up. But the dog's like, I don't care, I just want to play. The dog will entangle itself because it doesn't know better. The dog doesn't want my help. The dog wants me to play. The dog just wants to have fun. So the dog will continue in its own understanding, refusing to listen to its master until finally it can't move and it's choked off. And then the dog starts crying, master, save me. I'm all tangled. Now all of a sudden I become important other than throw the ball. And you untangle the dog and he's or she is ever so grateful. You see, we have a master in heaven. I asked the Lord to keep me on a short leash because I know my tendency, much like a pit bull. I match my type of puppy. Stubborn. But I know my tendency. I tend to lean on my own understanding until I can't move, and then I cry out for God. And thankfully, God is gracious enough and loves me enough to untangle me. And that's why he says, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Listen, when God comes to you and you're going your own way and you're thinking, no, I've got this. I figured it out. I just want to play. I just want to have fun. And God's like, no, you don't understand. No, God, you don't understand. And then we choke ourselves off and we're like, God, help me. Lord, help me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge the fact that he may be telling you, don't go that way. Stop. You know, if buckwheat had just stayed in the yard, she could have ran around the whole yard, had it all to herself. But because she wasn't obedient in that way, I had to restrict how much freedom she had. You see, Jesus says, he will give you the truth, and the truth will what? Yeah, it's not just knowing the truth, it's obeying the truth. The more I walk in God's truth, the more freedom I actually have. The less I walk in God's truth, the more he loves me enough to put a chain on me to say, whoa, God chastens those he loves. It's not a cruelty, it's a love. Why? I didn't want to see buckwheat get out into the road and get hit or run away and never come back. So I restricted what she could do. See, God has a plan. God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. The question is, are we willing to operate within his plan, or do we want to go our own way? But when we're not quite choked off, when we haven't come, pardon the pun, to the end of our rope, we keep going our own way. We're stubborn, like a pit bull. Listen, I love America. There's no country where we have the freedom to worship God. We have the freedom to work as hard as we want to work to become whatever we need to become, and to, most importantly, to have the freedom to live in love and to stand up for what we believe in. Now, that may change someday, but for now, I love America. But the American church is like a pit bull going its own way. I was reading this, I think it was last week, but it just bing. And I've taught through Revelation. I've read through Revelation many times, but last week it just kind of really resounded in my heart. Revelation chapter 3. The lukewarm church. It's America. It's the church in America. The pit bull that's going its own way. Listen to Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Here you go. Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. Is that not America? Even poor people in America live better than people in third world countries. I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Poor, blind, and naked. It's interesting that he says poor, blind, and naked. What sells in America? What sells? Sex. Sex sells, not just pornography. You get cable TV, watch the commercials. It's like, what is that? It's like vitamin pills. What? It's like, what does that have to do? People hardly dressed, and it's like very suggestive for every single thing anymore. You can hardly go watch a movie without. So listen. Wretched, miserable, poor, blind, looking at the wrong things, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may be not revealed. The shame of your nakedness. God says, you know what, America? You're after riches and gold and clothing and outward. And what about the things that will make you rich eternally? And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, here you go, I rebuke and chasten. I put on a chain. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, and here you go, here is the part that's so scathing. If that's not enough. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. Who is he talking to here? Anybody know? The church. He's talking to the church saying, I'm on the outside knocking. I want to come in. Why? Because you're rich. You think you got it all. You think you've clothed yourself because you look good outwardly. But what's going on the inside? What's going on in your private life? To him who overcomes, and here you go. Here's God's plan. Remember he says, I have a hope and a future for you. But of course, we have to what? Seek God with all our heart. But he says, to him who overcomes, in other words, to him who seeks me with all his heart, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Now, you can spend all day, all week, just musing on that fact that we're going to sit on God's throne. Wow. Let him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's painful. Because he's not, you know, you hear all this, you know, they're blind and they're naked and they're depraved and they make God want to vomit. And he says, I'm talking to a church. I'm talking to a lukewarm church. You see, we're not persecuted here. We've got it easy. You go to a third world country and those people like eat it up and they're ready to die for Christ. When so many in America aren't willing to live for him because we're too busy running around the tree just having fun. Not worried that one day we're going to run out of rope and choke ourselves off. The church in America is going its own way. And folks, brothers and sisters, I pray that 2018 for HBC, that we would make sure that we're going the way of Christ. Not just as a whole, but individually. Because we all affect each other. We do. You know, I was talking with someone recently, sharing Christ with them. And they, by the way, they accepted the Lord. This was like this week. I prayed with them. But one of the things they kept saying is, you know, it's not like, they kept referring to not like people who go to church, but then do things that, this was an unbeliever saying, you know, those people who go to church, but then they do things that don't look like Christians. And I was like, yeah, that's prayerfully, that's not HBC. But what do the people in your neighborhood see? What do the people around you who don't come to church, what do they see? Are you one of the people that this young person was talking to me about before they accepted the Lord? Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, follow the commandments. He said, well, these I've done since my youth. And then Jesus says, hey, sell all you have and give to the poor. And he went away sad. Remember, he said he kept them all from his youth, all the commandments. Listen, he had done good. He just hadn't done right. See, you and I can do good all day long, but it doesn't mean we're right. Here's another example, and you're going to actually want to keep them bookmarked on Jeremiah And also keep a bookmark on John chapter 5, because we're going to look at this whole ordeal right here. We're going to just pick pieces between verse 18 and verse 47. We're going to jump around in there. So, and we'll jump back and forth, but you'll see why. Starting in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him. To kill who? Jesus. Who are the Jews? The religious people. These are the ones, listen, not pagans. These are the ones who have the word of God. These are the ones who have the temple. They have the tabernacle. Not the tabernacle, the temple. They have the word. They're living by the word. They have the sacrifices. They have the rituals. They have it all. Therefore, the Jews, religious people, sought all the more to kill him. Because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his father, making himself equal with God. See, here's a bunch of people who are doing good, but they're not doing right. They're following the Ten Commandments. They're being religious. They're praying. They're giving alms. They're giving tithes. They're doing all this stuff, but they're not right with God. Here's the problem. They don't like the things that Jesus has said, and they don't like what Jesus has done, and they don't like when he has done it. Now, I want you to hang this on your belt, this thought. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, who is he speaking to? The people who want to kill him. And who are these people? They're religious people who have the word of God, not some other book, not some pagans. These are people who are following Jehovah God. So from 19 to 47, you're going to have interweaved Jesus speaking to the people who hate him, who disdain him, that want to kill him. Jump down to verse 24, and look what he says to the people who want to kill him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes them, and him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. In other words, what Jesus is saying, look, I know you want to kill me, but I want to give you life. I want to see you have eternal. I have a plan for you. I have a hope for you. Not of evil, but of good. You want to do me evil, but I just want to do you good. How amazing is that? The Lord Jesus, to the same people who are going to kill him, who want to kill him, he's saying, listen, I know how you feel, but I love you. Wow. The very people who hate him. He wants to have everlasting. He wants them to have everlasting, joyful life, but not just anywhere, with him. He's like, oh, you want to kill me? That's okay. I want to spend eternity with you in joy, in bliss, in glory. Wow. But they want to run until they strangle themselves. In the meantime, killing him. And we go, how could they? And then goes, yeah, Randy, how could you? I give you my word and I tell you go this way or go that way. And you keep going your own way. And I'm like, Randy, I want to give you a hope and a future. But you go, no, I just want to choke myself off. Folks, God has a plan. God has a plan for you and I. But once again, why do the people in John chapter 5 want to kill him? Well, because he healed a man. He healed a man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. On the Sabbath. So they didn't like what Jesus did, and they didn't like when he did it. Don't we do the same thing? God, why would you let this happen? Why did they have to die, God, so soon? Why do I have to go through this? Why is this happening to me? Jesus, I don't like what you're doing. I don't like what your word says to trust you and have patience. And I don't like that. That's the same reason these people want to kill him. I've heard people turn their back on God because someone that they loved died, and in their opinion, they died prematurely, and they said, well, it was, you know, why'd they have to go now? It's God's timing. It's God's plan. Every one of us is going to pass. Remember, we all agreed upon that. But all of a sudden, we don't like what Jesus has to say. We don't like Jesus' timing. We don't like what Jesus is doing, and we begin to choke ourselves off instead of trusting in God's plan. God has thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. How many of you want peace instead of evil? Yes, you don't have to show me your hands. If you don't show me your hands, then I'm worried, okay? I'm going to say that everybody in here wants a hope and a future. If you don't want a hope and a future, will you please call the church immediately? Set up an appointment. Let's talk. I'll take you to lunch. Something. Listen, and God says, you want it. I want to give that to you. Will you please trust me as your master and quit going your own way? You realize that's what the Israelites did? Except their tether was around a mountain. They kept going around the mountain until they choked themselves off. One by one, the Israelites died. They had a 40-year funeral march. A whole generation did not get to go in the promised land. They died in the desert, all because they didn't want to go God's way. Side note, someone asked me just recently, he said, well, why do good people die so young and the rotten people seem to live on forever? And as a person says, well, that's because God wants the good ones. But I see here in Scripture that God wants the hating murderers too. I think the reason why sometimes the wicked prosper and live long is because God is giving them an opportunity to repent before they do pass from this life. Because he has a hope and a future for them. And if you, like, look at, at the same time, it's not completely true. There are some good people who live long lives, like Billy Graham. He's still alive as a good man. But if you're looking at an evil man that's, or a woman who's lived many years and they're just rotten to the core and it seems like they're blessed, God is calling them. He's giving them an opportunity to repent. So important. It's not that God's unfair. God's totally fair. And everything that happens in this life, it all boils back down to God loves you, God loves me, and he has a plan. And then it boils back to, but what are you and I going to do? Are we going to seek him with part of my heart? Some of my heart, just the parts of my heart that I can spare, or am I going to seek him with all of my heart? The problem with many churches, the problem for many churches and in many churches, verse 12, and you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. The problem is for many Christians and many churches is we start off seeking God with all our heart, but then we don't like the direction that God wants to take us. We don't like what the word is saying, that the direction I have to go, oh, wait, you mean I have to really die to myself in order to see the blessings? That's what the word says. Well, I don't like that. Yeah, neither do I. It's hard. Guess what? Even Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way. But there is no other way. Not if you want to see the hope in the future. See, Jesus Christ wanted the hope in the future, wants the hope in the future for us. He wants to see us all have an opportunity to be saved. And he said, Father, is there any other way? No, there's not. Okay, well, I want to go the way of the hope in the future, even if it hurts. Even if it's difficult. When Jesus Christ, which, by the way, is the Word, when the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ, when he says the hardest things, it's because he wants the best for you. Do you realize that? When God tells you those things to do, that you just like, God, do you realize how hard that is to do? And he's like, yes. But the harder something is to do, the greater the reward on the other side. Look at John. Prayerfully, you kept your bookmark there in John 5, but look at verse 34. All the things he said, they don't like what he said. They said they want to kill him because he makes himself out to be the Son of God, to be equal with God. And he tells them a bunch of other things, but if you look at verse 34, part B, but I say these things that you might be saved. Listen, I'm saying these things that you who hate me, you who want to kill me, you who disdain me, I just want to see you get saved. Wow. But too often we struggle with things that are in the Word of God because we don't like them, because we can't comprehend how that works out. I ran across a story about a teacher teaching her students, and there happened to be one little Christian girl in her class. But the teacher said that it was impossible for a whale to swallow a human because even though it's very large, its throat is very, very small. This Christian little girl said, but Jonah was swallowed by a whale. Irritated, the teacher reiterated that a whale could not swallow a human. It was physically impossible. The little girl said, well, when I get to heaven, I'll just ask Jonah. And the teacher said, yeah, well, what if Jonah went to hell? Well, then you ask him. It doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter if you agree with the Bible, if you like what the Bible has to say, if you don't like what the Bible has to say, the whole Word of God is there to lead you to a hope and a future. So you don't like it, who are you? Who am I? I'm less than a flea on a dog compared to God. Not even the pit bull. I'm less than the pit bull. And we're like, well, I don't like it. I don't like that he wants the dog to go the other way so it doesn't get choked out. You're a flea. He's God. He's the master. That's what Jesus means. Once again, still in John chapter 5. Don't turn away from there yet. I'll tell you when. Verse 39. That's why he says this to them, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Guys, y'all, you're reading the Word of God, but do you realize the Word of God is Jesus? So if you're disagreeing with the Word of God, you're saying, Jesus, I disagree with you. Lord, no. He says, so you think you find life in the Word. You don't find life in the Word unless you obey it. That's what he's saying. These are they that testify of me. Verse 40. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Wow. That is probably the biggest issue in the church today. People are coming to church because they think that church is the way to salvation. They're holding their Bibles because they think it's the key to unlock the door, and yet they don't obey the Word. And Jesus is saying, you're no different than these people who want to kill me, who don't want to obey. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are they which testify of me. You are not willing to come to me that you may have eternal life. You're just being religious. We can't just read the scripture. We must read the scripture and see Jesus and then obey the scripture because it is Jesus and Jesus is Lord. Is Jesus your Lord? Then obey the scripture. If you don't obey the scripture, can you say Jesus is Lord? No. That's not complicated. It's not rocket science. He is the way for us. Remember, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way for us. He will lead us to a truthful life, and he'll give us life abundantly. That's why he says, I have a hope and a future for you. He has a plan. And all of these plans, folks, all the plans that God has for you, it's not to be mean to you. You know, I use the analogy of a pit bull. God's not the master that wants to whack you on the nose with the newspaper. He's not that kind of God. He's not that kind of master. Well, the thing that God disciplines you on is to keep you from hurting yourself. Out of his love, he wants to untangle us from the mess that we make all by ourselves, thinking that we have it all together. He has a new direction for you and I. You see, I was going my own way, folks, before I met Jesus. I thought I had it figured out. I'm the big pit bull on the block. But I tangled myself up, and he says, no, Randy, I have thoughts of peace, not of evil for you. I have a future and a hope. And as I lined my life up with what God's word says, I saw his plan slowly unfold for me. And here's where I am so far. And I think it's working. But the key is found in verse 13 of Jeremiah. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Easy to read. You and I can, that just flows. You will seek me and you'll find me when you search for me all your heart. Great, awesome, I love it. Now think about it. All your heart. All my heart, all your heart. Well, can I keep just this back a little piece? No, all your heart. Remember over in Matthew 22, Jesus said, when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Remember that? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, all your mind. This idea of nothing being held back. Nothing being held back. But in the church in America today, in many Christians today, many of us here in this room today, we hold back parts of our heart, parts of our soul, and lots of our mind. Well, my rights and who I am and me and me, my, me. We're the me monsters. We really are. We really are. Once we find him, once we search for him with all our heart, it changes our perspective. There's a hymn. There's an old hymn. It's one of my favorite hymns of all time. I have a few, but this hymn, every time, I'm going to try and read it, because every time I read this, I want to cry, but it's called The Love of God. Let me read it to you. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Stop it. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. And I love this part. Listen to this. If we could with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever endure the saints' and angels' song. You see, when you fall into God's plan, you cannot contain, you cannot begin to write down all the things that God begins to fulfill in his promise to give you a hope, a peace, and a future. The problem why we don't experience that is because we fight to go our own way and we don't listen to our master and we are tangled and tangled and tangled. Don't hide from the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't hide. Be proud of him. Be proud to follow his way, though sometimes it is hard. You know, I see people, I've toyed with the idea of getting a good Christian tattoo, or, you know, I've toyed with that. And people often, when they get tattoos, they always post them on Facebook and they show people, look, I got new ink. I thought that would be like saying, you know, going to a tattoo artist and say, hey, give me 2 Easter egg tattoos and don't hide them. Don't tell me where they are. See how ridiculous? That's how we treat Jesus. It's like, Jesus, I want you in my life, but, you know, hide. Don't just be there, you know, be there somewhere. So the question, what is some of the hope and some of the future that God has for you and I? Here's some verses to tuck away in your heart. Isaiah 26, verse 3. The steadfast of the mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. These are the Amplified version, by the way. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. How about 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10? Cast your whole care, your anxiety, your worry, your concern, once and for all on him, for he cares affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Wow. See, those are just some of the promises of God. When you and I search for him with all our heart, those are just some of the things we can count on. He promised in his word. You already said you believe in Jesus Christ, that he's Lord. You believe that in the word of God speaks expressly of Christ. So if you believe that the word of God is Christ, then you cannot say no, Lord. You say yes, Lord. And then he says these promises will be yours if you will search for me with all your heart. So let's do this. Let's go back to Jeremiah 29:11, and let's read it slowly and think about what I've shared with you this morning. For I know, this is God speaking to you today. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call on me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ecclesiastes 3:11, last verse I want to read to you before we go to communion. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, that they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, according to God's word, you and I cannot fathom what God wants to do if you and I would search for him with all our heart today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that this new year, I pray that you would shake us up, wake us up. If we need to be put on a short leash, put us on a short leash just so long as we go your way, for you are the master. You care about us. You want to untangle us from this crazy world and from the sins that we so easily become ensnared in. And so, Father, I do pray. I pray this morning, Lord, for my own heart, which is the only heart I can control. But I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would be moved to the heart to begin to do the things that are said in your word. And not to fight them, even if they disagree with them. Your word is right, and every man and woman and child is wrong if we disagree with your word. But Father, you have a hope and a future because you love us. And now, Lord, we're about to take communion. May we be reminded of how far you went to show us how much you love us and how amazing your faithfulness truly is. Lord Jesus, we can't even begin to praise you for your name. Praise you for your love and for your faithfulness. Praise you for your tenacity. Praise you, Lord, for the fact that you were unwavering in your stance to make sure that we have a way to salvation, that you had a way to give us a hope and a future. Without you, there is no way. Father, you sent your son to pave a way where there was no way. And there is now. And it's a sure way. It's a sure foundation. It's the only right way. And so lead us in the way everlasting. Reveal the parts of our heart that need to be removed, that we need to shine light into every corner of our lives and make sure that we have left no darkness to linger, that we would search you with our whole heart, and that you would bring that hope and future that you planned before we were even a twinkle in our parents' eyes, that you had a hope and a future for us, each one of us individually. And Lord, I pray for this church, for HBC, Lord, and whatever purpose and goal you have for 2018, I pray that we all get an opportunity to be a part of what you are doing and what you want to do. And we would not quench you, Holy Spirit. We do not want to quench you, but we want to move. And so, Lord, I pray for the elements as the ushers hold them. I pray, Father, that each person would examine their heart before taking the elements. And if someone here is not saved, if you are not saved, if you've never surrendered to Christ, the communion's not for you. But if you want to accept Christ this morning, you can pray for Christ to come into your life and then take communion with us at the same time. But if you're not planning on getting, don't just take the communion. It means something. It points to Jesus Christ. It reminds us of what he did so that we can have a hope and a future. Because we don't know, Lord, when our last day is. But we want to be ready for what you have planned. And so, Father, bless these elements, bless the ushers, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Hold on to the elements. We'll take them together. There's two cups. They're stacked. Separate them and pray. Father, we thank you that you are broken. And it's sweet for us. So easy. The free gift of life that came through your brokenness, through your sacrifice, through your offering. And Lord, we are ever grateful. And Lord, let us show our gratefulness in the things that we do to bring you glory. The ways that we obey your word, even when it's hard, even when it hurts. God, you're so amazing. Do you have a hope and a future for us? That you think about us? Lord, you ask that when we take this cup and we take this bread, that we would think about you. We love you because you first loved us, and we would think about what you did because you were thinking of us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread. And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink. Drink it in remembrance of me. Let's take the cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so this morning we say, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord. But until he comes, may we be found walking in obedience so that we can see the hope in the future that he has planned for us lived out. That we would be an example of glory to God, even in these broken vessels, imperfect, unholy, but made righteous by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And now, Lord, we sing unto you from our hearts, and may it be pleasing in your sight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen.